Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We do appreciate your ongoing support. Keith Nimmer and all the rest of the boys and girls down at Norrell, thank you very much. On that note, as you know, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Good morning. My name is Jeff Ingram. I am a personal trainer here in Fort McMurray. And I'm very happy to be back. It's my second time here.
There you go, yeah. So everybody at home, just so you know, our cameras went down today, so we are on the backup camera. And myself and Jeff have been sitting down talking for maybe an hour to two right at this point. So welcome to the conversation. So the one thing
so
I want...
So the rest of this is going to suck. So.
That's right. Yeah, you missed all the good stuff. That's right. So for you and me, what we need to be mindful of just for yourself is like we need to really talk... direct our voice into that mic.
You bet.
So, or talk louder, I should say. The last time you were here, there was a topic of discussion that we didn't get to touch on at all, but it was wrestling.
Yes.
So, let's get into that. So, you used to be a wrestler, you used to be in the industry, like what does that mean?
Yeah, I was a pro wrestler probably from 1993, and my last match was 1999, so
okay.
On and off for about 6 years. I worked out of very small promotions, mostly based out of Winnipeg, where I'm from.
Right.
And in sort of the surrounding areas there, so lots of prairie shows, for sure.
Okay. So when you say, like, I know nothing about this industry other from watching WWF, now it's E,
yeah.
But... when you say professional wrestler, that means that you got paid to do it.
Yes.
But like, what does that industry even look like? I can't even begin to start.
Big question, honestly. Certainly at the time, it was a little different than it is now. And of course, when I'm speaking of professional wrestling,
yeah,
as opposed to amateur wrestling would be more like collegiate wrestling or wrestling that you would see, you know, at the Olympics.
That's right.
Very legitimate.
Yeah.
Fantastic sport.
Yeah.
Really skilled, absolutely killer athletes.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Professional wrestling, usually killer athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome to watch, usually.
Yeah.
Very different.
That's right.
Professional wrestling is a show.
That's right. You
know, hence the whole sports entertainment moniker that Vince McMahon had attached to it.
Right.
And I can't recall exactly when that was. And I also don't recall if that was part of the whole sort of steroid scandal that erupted around the time. I do remember that prior to at least one big incident, the general rule was that professional wrestling was to always be portrayed by the people in the industry as being a real thing.
Yeah.
So the competition was real.
Right.
When you went into the ring, it was an actual physical contest between two or more people.
Right.
The reality, of course, which I think everybody knows now,
mm-hmm.
Is that it's not, and I would never refer to wrestling as being fake.
Right.
But it is scripted to a degree.
That's right. That's right.
Generally, at the time, again, the industry I think is a little different now than it used to be.
Yeah.
I have been out of it for a long time, and I have not really kept in touch at all since.
Yeah.
But at the time, what we would know before going into a match was who you were working with.
Right.
And who was winning.
Yeah.
And how long they wanted it to go.
That's right.
That was it.
Right.
Everything
right.
else was up to the workers performing the match.
That's right.
And if you were good, you would end the match right around the time that you were supposed to.
Yeah.
You would put on an entertaining match that told a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very complicated thing, because essentially you're looking at physical theater.
Right.
And creating an ongoing story with it. I've heard it referred to as, you know, a men's soap opera.
Right.
Kind of thing, which is not too far wrong.
Right.
But really skilled workers in the industry will tell a story.
Right.
Both in their matches.
Yeah.
And working, you know, the longer term thing would be called an angle. So
right.
ideally with a smart promoter, you would be working an angle with somebody.
Right.
And the progressive matches, whether it's week after week or month after month or however long it is between shows,
yeah,
would be working towards something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So I apologize if I'm
rambling
here.
No, you're not. I've got so many other questions. You're answering everything I want to.
There's so much here that I could very easily kind of get carried off in one
right.
direction with it. But that's what you would know going into a match. I know who I'm working.
Yeah.
I know where we are on the card, so I know
right.
who we're following. I know how long we want to go, and I know who's going over, which
yeah.
is who's winning. Right?
Very cool.
And that's all you know going in. So you need to be, and this is where I think professional wrestlers don't get the respect that they deserve for their ability to perform, not
yeah.
just physically and athletically in the ring,
yeah.
but to perform as actors
mm-hmm.
and to tell a story
right.
and to make people believe,
yeah.
right? Which is the big thing. If
yeah.
you're good at what you do, and certainly there have been some fantastic wrestlers at the WWE level, which of course is the pinnacle in terms of
mm-hmm.
your exposure and your pay and everything else.
Right.
But guys that I worked with
mm-hmm.
at the time, and I can tell you that we were not being paid at that same level.
Right.
There were a lot of shows that I did where, you know, if we broke even in terms of cost,
yeah.
you know, that was good. You know,
yeah.
you would work a show in front of, I think the most people I was ever in front of was probably about 500.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
mind-blowing for me. I
right.
always wanted, to me, I always wanted that experience of, like, the WWE experience of walking out of the curtain
right.
and having 10,000 people there just
yeah,
exploding.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That would have been amazing. But even then,
500,
that was
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was very, very cool.
Yeah.
I have also done shows in front of 6 people.
Right.
You know, which is very difficult to, you know, to get yourself sort of in that mindset of,
yeah.
I have to put on a good performance here, because you're like, man,
right.
it's only 6 people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get paid for this show.
Yeah.
If you got $5
very
for it,
cool.
you know, if you could throw $5 worth of gas into your tank after
yeah.
that, you were pretty happy.
That's right.
Not
That's
always
cool.
like that. And again, I don't know what the industry
looks
like now
right.
comparatively,
right.
but I do know for guys who are starting out in the business,
yeah.
it's very, very different.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very different. You are still probably helping to set up the ring before
right.
the show. You were helping
right.
to take it down afterwards.
Right.
You're putting in a lot of time being trained.
Yeah.
You know, during which you will eventually work matches but not get paid for because
yeah.
it's part of your training.
That's right.
I mean, these are all the dues that you have to
have
pay.
To do. That's right.
Know?
Before you continue, Tanner, just double check. That light is red? Recording? Because I'm notorious for forgetting, and that camera doesn't make the beep. Thank you, my man. Okay, because that's all gold. I didn't want to lose any of that.
Okay,
my next wrestling question that you just kind of alluded to in regards to, because it's like ad-libbing almost. Like, you said, okay, I know how much time, I know, like, that I'm going to be in the ring. I kind of know what the outcome is going to be. You want me to lose, you want him to win, okay. Do you guys sit back before, like, is that like a relationship that you'd build with your opponent, being like, okay, these are my moves that I want to achieve, this is what I want to do, like,
yeah.
or like, do you say like, okay, I'm trying, like you said, I'm working on this hook, this is what my character arc I want to do, can you help me progress that? Like, what's the discussion like in, like, so you figure out in between those two endpoints, or is there even a discussion?
It varies. It,
okay.
it depends on who's working the match. And I can tell you, the guys who are really good, so guys that I were working when I broke into the business who had been in for a long time, would usually discuss the finish, typically at the very least,
mm-hmm.
because you had to have some idea of, like, here's how the finish is going to go.
Right.
So you know who's going over, but you want to make sure that the finish is going to look smooth, you're going to roll into it at the same time.
Right.
So that everybody knows what's going on, especially if it's a tag team match
right.
or a You know, it might be a battle royal or an elimination or whatever. You have to know what the finish is going to look like.
Right.
Guys who are really, really good
don't
have to talk about it a lot, and they don't have to talk about the rest of the match, because there should be, once you're in there, there should be a decent flow to things.
Okay.
And there are certain things that you're probably going to look for, right? I mean, knowing the you know, the wrestling terminology, you have your face and you have your heel, or faces and heels.
That's right. That's right.
So there should be, and it's not necessarily a by the numbers thing by any means, but I mean, at some point in the match, the heels are going to get heat on the faces, and you're going to obviously do heel things, right? You're going to cheat.
Yeah.
You're going to be evil. You're going to play dirty, right?
Right, 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 right.
To get the crowd to hate you, because that is your job. It's really easy. It's so much more fun being a heel.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then at some point, the babyface is going to make a big comeback, but you're going to stop it, right?
Right.
And you're going to make another big comeback, but you're going to stop, because you have to build up the tension for the actual comeback. You shouldn't have to talk about any of those things.
That's right. That's
and I certainly have had matches where you don't necessarily feel as confident in the people that you're working with, in that you can just go in and do this.
That's right.
And they're going to know.
That's right.
Not that I was ever, I don't want to make it seem like I'm making myself sound like I was really good, because I was not that good.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But I do remember one match in particular, talking to the guys beforehand and saying, okay, we're going to go in, you know, we were the faces, so we're going to trash you guys initially, you know, and you guys are going to run out of the ring. You're going to come back in, you know, you're going to get the heat on me, but you're going to hit me with the brass knuckles in order to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Then we're going to have, you know, the fake comeback, you know,
That's right.
And then, you know, eventually, you know, I'm going to get the tag on my partner. Shout out to Kenny Bond.
Right.
And he's going to come in, you know, you come over the top of the ropes on the other side. He's going to clothesline you. He's going to get up. He's going to throw you out of the ring. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they felt the need to do this. And then they screwed it all up.
Right.
When we went into the ring, and it wound up that whole spot, which should have been fantastic.
Right.
And Kenny got a huge, huge pop when I made the tag, and that was great. And then the other guys messed up the rest of it, so it looked like crap.
Right.
Right. Which afterwards you're like, guys. Like,
yeah.
And honestly,
it's a show.
Yes. And you don't get to do it again.
Right.
And they should have been good enough to recognize, like, geez, that didn't go right. Change.
Yeah.
Do something else. What would look good here?
Right.
And, you know, I really, at the time, you definitely did not talk about this stuff openly. So honestly, I'm a little uncomfortable. I don't want to give stuff away.
Yeah.
But everybody knows this is not news.
That's right.
So you would, when you're going to do a move, if you're going to change something, you would almost call an audible. Like,
that's
you
right.
Tell the guy what you're going to do.
That's right.
Because he has to know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to, even if you're going to close on a guy, I mean, you might be able to telegraph that and have him get it.
That's right.
If you tell them so that's that right. everybody knows, because again, it has to be smooth.
And it has to be, it's a physical thing that you're doing too.
It has to be safe, which that's is right. the number one
that's
thing.
Right. That's
so
right.
Your number one goal in going into any match ever is for the other guy to be okay.
Yeah.
And again, if you're good, your job may be to make the other guy look good.
That's right.
Right? And
that's
the
right.
people who are great wrestlers do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was an occasion where we did talk about it beforehand and it didn't go well. Mm-hmm. Had another match where myself and the guy who trained me, shout out to Mike Phillips, Sergeant Steel, without a doubt the best wrestler I ever worked with.
Love it.
Absolutely so talented and so good. Mike would literally transform his personality.
Yeah.
As we were standing behind the door waiting as our music kicked in, when the door opened and he went out, he was Sergeant Steel.
Yeah.
He was so good. It was such a pleasure working with him.
Yeah.
Always fun. And I would have just a hard time not sitting there on the ropes watching him going, like, this is awesome.
Yeah. You're a fan in the ring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Mike and I were working a couple of younger guys who were kind of meant to be sort of the, you know, the high flying. They would have been like Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
What were they?
Yeah.
What were they called?
I don't know.
I can't even remember.
I know the two wrestlers you're talking about, but I forget what their team name was.
I can't remember. Yeah. I may have gotten the name wrong too, but like that, you know, a little bit more, you know, definitely baby faces, definitely meant to appeal more to the girls, you
That's
know,
right.
like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas we were definitely the evil heel tag team, no question.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, listen, you guys are gonna, you guys are going over, you know, like the young guys are going over. Right. I can't remember what the name of their team was. You know, we need you guys to give us 11 minutes, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to go, okay, so how about we do this? You know, we're gonna do this. We're gonna grab you, and then we're gonna do this. We're gonna get the heat on you. Yeah. I'm gonna go up to the top rope, and I'm gonna do this big flip, and then we're gonna do this.
Yeah.
And Mike is sitting the whole time listening to them, just nodding his head.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Says, okay, no.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? No.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it? No, we're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what do you want to do then? You get nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Mike says, you get nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
We're going to go over with an effed finish.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, oh, so that means we're going to get disqualified.
Yeah. Right?
So they're not actually winning.
Yeah.
They are moving on. This was a tag team title tournament, and they were moving on to the end.
Yeah, that's right.
And we had to get eliminated because they wanted a specific team to, you know, get the tag team title. And Mike and I were much physically larger than most of the guys in the promotion. So it'd be tough to put the belts on us, because who's realistically going to be able to challenge us after that, right?
That's
so it had to be someone else.
That's right.
And really, we should realistically beat these guys.
That's right.
Which was great. Looking at their faces, they were so disappointed. They had all these ideas, all these things they wanted to do. And Mike was like, you're getting nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And we were standing up. When we were standing up waiting for the whole angle that we were working towards eventually was that Mike and I were going to split.
Yeah.
And we were going to have a major disagreement over the heavyweight title, which was going to be on me at the time.
Right.
And so that was going to be the breaking point between the two of us. And then he and I would be antagonists after that.
Right. Fascinating.
We were standing behind the door waiting to go out. And I was like, that was great. And he was just like, these guys don't get anything against us. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. And it was. It was great.
That's great, man. Okay, I got another question. But before we get there, got to throw it to one of our sponsors, Carrie at Patchouli Rose. Carrie, let's hear what you got to say.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end, and during the summer we always think of applying our sunscreen, but sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
Okay, and we're back. Tanner gave me the signal. We got 4 minutes left, give or take. Thank you, Tanner. Okay, before I could talk wrestling, because I'm so fascinated, I know nothing about it, but let's talk a little bit about your business in Fort McMurray.
Okay.
So you spoke about it a little bit last time, but let's maybe some people at home didn't see that last episode. So please tell everybody at home what you do for a living.
I am a personal trainer here in Fort McMurray. I work mostly out of McDonald Island at this point. I have been doing personal training since 1995. So when I started my first business, I had been at the time training myself for about 9 years, I think, at the time, and decided that, you know, I thought it might be a good business opportunity for me, and I was tired of working for other people at that time. Mm-hmm. And it did go very well. Unfortunately, the gym climate was quite different at the time, and still, at least in Winnipeg anyway, you still had gyms that would close overnight and the owners would disappear.
Oh, okay.
You know, selling memberships until they closed the day before, mm-hmm. and then the doors are locked and they're gone the next day. And that's what happened at the gym that I was working at. And unfortunately, there weren't a lot of gyms. I mean, there are most places, you know, Winnipeg included, and even here in Fort McMurray, mm-hmm. there are a lot of gyms. Mm-hmm. And it's not as hard to get in working as a personal trainer as it used to be.
Right.
Because most gyms only had one. And if there was already someone there, you weren't replacing them.
Right.
And they weren't going to be okay with competition.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that did not work out for the long term. But I did learn a lot by doing that. Mm. I went to university, into other careers for a long time. I worked in emergency preparedness as part of the health and safety team for a Crown Corporation. Mm. I felt good about the work that I was doing because I felt like I was helping people and doing something good and worthwhile.
That's right.
But I didn't like where I was working so much, and I didn't feel good about the company that I was working for.
Yeah.
Lots of good people there, but still not what I wanted to be doing.
Right.
I don't fit very well in a corporate environment.
Okay.
And you can ask any of my supervisors at Mack Island and they'll tell you this is definitely true.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell that by looking at me.
Yeah.
I look so corporate.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something that I felt would still benefit people. Mm-hmm. I did not want to, when we discovered that we were moving to Fort McMurray,
yeah.
I did not want to work in the safety industry
right
here simply because the stakes are so high.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't comfortable with that. I did not want that kind of responsibility.
Yeah, good for
I still
you.
Feel
that's very mature of you.
Well, I still feel that it's obviously really important.
Yeah, of course.
And I think would be worthwhile work in terms of doing something you could feel good about. But I think my anxiety level would be extra high there.
Right.
So I thought about what kind of things I could potentially do. And I had been here in 2018 through some friends of mine at working with Nerdvana. So Mike Farrell at Nerdvana, the comic store, which is excellent. If you haven't been there, you should go there.
It's awesome.
Mike brought me out for a video project that they were doing.
Right.
And he took me to Mack Island.
Yeah.
And I was amazed by the facility itself. I'd never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I knew that they had personal trainers there, and I knew that the money was decent. And I thought, okay, well, there's something that I could do. And I immediately felt good about that.
That's awesome.
So I also do online nutrition and programming for people because I like to expand beyond, you know, just the borders of Fort McMurray. And that was kind of the first thing that I got into when I started thinking about those things.
Right.
I definitely love my work.
Yeah.
It is something that I feel really good about. It.
Yeah,
I feel like you have the opportunity to genuinely help people and help them make a positive change in their life.
That's right.
And I feel like I've done that for, you know, a great number of clients. And
awesome.
You know, that feeling never gets old.
That's awesome. So. Well, listen, Tanner hit his watch. So that means we're out of time.
That went fast.
That went fast. Like the whole day has gone fast. We've been together for like 2 hours. So
it has been a while.
Listen, thank you so much for coming. Do appreciate it. Please, please, please. And like, I'm so honored that you reached back out to come again. So
it's
I've got
pleasure.
Tons of questions for you. So we can do this forever. So please come back again. But before I cut you loose today, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, and the lights. Have fun.
Well, I should have thought of this before, but since we were talking about wrestling, I'm going to go back and a shout out to Kenny Bond, you know, Mike Phillips, Doug McCall, Sluggo Smith, all of the guys at River City Wrestling and beyond. It was an amazing experience. I'm glad I'm not still doing it, but thank you guys for that.
There we go. Awesome. 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 Well, that's been another episode of the Mack City Morning Show. Thank you for tuning in. It does mean the world to me, as you guys know. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie at Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. We do appreciate it. I hope that everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.